I said, what do you say?
Zeus's return.
Zeus always returns.
He's a hard man to get rid of.
Okay,
he's losing his hearing too.
Finger in the right spot. All right. Let's call me in order. Tom, if you leave us in the
spot. That would be my pleasure, Robert. I can remember it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pretty good. Sometimes I forget right in the middle of it.
Minutes of February 1st.
I'll second.
I had a comment on this. Wasn't it when we talked about the double wide mobile home that was being burned? Didn't we determine that that was worthless, or that it was going to cost too much to move it off of the property? So
we could not sell it because we couldn't move it, and we, as far as we were concerned, it was.
Okay, I would just like that added into the minutes because it mentioned something sort of dancing around that, but I think it would be good to state in there that we weren't going to be able to, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was worth selling.
Right.
Yep. I think it's been vacant a while, and there hasn't been any heat in it in a while. Probably had mold from one end of it to the other, and nobody else.
The undercarriage.
Basically, it wasn't.
That's why we couldn't sell it.
Just wasn't worth it. So when they get done with the training, we'll scoop up what's left and put it in a landfill, basically. Any other questions on the minutes before we vote on them? A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, Vince, landfill.
We have a couple of intermunicipal agreements, one with the City of Corning, and one with State College. In 2016, we made agreements with them to dispose of garbage. They agreed to send us all their garbage if we allowed them to deliver it at the transfer stations at $44 a ton instead of $59 a ton.
Vince.
Okay. Two agreements with Corning and Alfred State. In 2016, we entered into agreements with them for them to dump their garbage at the transfer stations for $44 a ton instead of the $59 a ton gate rate. We gave them the lower rate because they guaranteed us all their garbage. The Corning resolution would be applicable to all public sectors, municipalities. And the second one is just for Alfred State.
Motion.
Is there any other discussion? Now, this renewal for the City of Corning, that's the City of Corning. All the garbage comes to our transfer station, correct?
Yep, at Irwin for 5 years. Right.
5 years. Okay. And the Hornell is Alfred to Hornell.
Right.
All right. See, do we have a motion? Yeah, we have a motion and a second. All right. Any discussion? Any more? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's carried. Highways.
Okay. This is the CDL program that you approved last November, and I have, it says four employees. I have six that we want to get the licenses for. Just to review with you quickly what the program is. First of all, anyone who is required to have a license at hire, like our truck drivers, our snowplow drivers, when we hire them, they have to have the Class B. So that does not apply to them. If they don't have the Class B, we don't hire them. Now, any license that we require someone to have after they're hired, and they knew that when they were hired, we, under this program, will reimburse their tuition. That's basically the mechanics and the bridge workers, Class B. Now, if we have hired someone who's been here so long, but we put in a new requirement after they've been here that they have to have a license, then we will pay their tuition and their travel time and their time at the class, because we change their work requirement. We have six. One, the first one is a motor equipment operator. This is basically the truck drivers. He wants to get upgraded to a Class A. I'd like him to get upgraded to a Class A because he's the backup on our chip seal crew. He'll be able to run the chip seal spreader if he gets the Class A. So this is one where we would reimburse the tuition only. Then there's two bridge workers. The bridge worker requirement is a Class B within 2 years of hire. And this would be, again, they would get the class, they want to get the Class B, we would reimburse it. They would go to Mount Morris for $1,585. So that's two from bridge crew. Now we have three from the mechanic shop. One of them, again, was hired after we had these rules in place for Class B. So we would reimburse him for getting the Class B. However, for $2,035, you can get a Class A. So I want to do that. Have him get the Class A for $2,035. Go to Mount Morris, and it's just a reimbursement program. Now there's two that were hired before we instituted the Class B requirement at the mechanic shop. So they got hired, they came here, and we changed the rules on them. And they have to have a Class B. So this one, we would pay the travel time, the time in the class, as well as the tuition, and we'd pay it up front. And they would get the Class A, again, instead of the Class B, for $2,035 at Mount Morris. So there's six of them. And this is what we had said to you, about 6 to 8 a year, and this is what we're looking at for this year. Maybe a couple more.
Is there any questions?
I just like to make note that I like the idea that Vince is having the mechanics get the A instead of the B, because then if they're working on a tractor trailer, they're still not limited. So I think that's a good idea to go with the A.
They can at least take it out and test drive it.
Vince told me on Saturday that one of these people is one of my brothers, so I'm not going to be voting on it. I'm going to be abstaining.
Okay. Yeah. Fred, drive, huh? You've seen him drive.
Fred, say something.
No.
Scott.
Okay, Scott.
Vince, on your first one, explaining, you said that the gentleman wants to get the Class A, and you approve of that, and that he's going to be able to help, I think, run the chip sealer or something. But it kind of struck me that if someone wants to get the Class A, do we have to approve of it? Because yes. Are people allowed to increase their experience rating and their classifications by us paying for their training?
you don't have to approve this. This operator, he's a truck driver. He's been on the chip seal crew for could be 15 to 20 years. He's the backup operator on the chip seal spreader. He's the backup operator.
What my question was, and I probably wasn't clear. You made the statement, this gentleman wants to get the Class A and we agree or we approve. So do we have the ability to not, or do you, the Department of Public Works, have the ability to not bring people forward for Class A's if you don't think they should be getting one?
Yes, I have the I think the authority to say, no, this isn't worth it to us. It's not required. In this case, I think it is worth it to us.
I think, didn't we have a pretty extensive discussion about that, that it was a management issue that wasn't going to be subject to union, grievances, I think.
Right. Yeah. The department head certainly has the approval or the first line review of this program, just like any other tuition request, because we sort of followed that. So if someone wanted to go to graduate school and get a degree that they claim would be in line with their current work duties, the first line would be reviewed by the department head or supervisor department head, and then on to you folks.
Okay. And that's what I was looking for clarification.
Yeah, but it's also a good point, Scott, and I'm sure Vince has done this, but one thing that we have to watch for, the second part of your question, is if getting this, puts them into a different title, or if by getting this they will be doing work outside of their title that may result in needing to look at a reclassification. So that's something I'm sure Vince is keeping an eye on and will need to. In many cases, these things are, like Vince said, are written into the job specs. But if it's to operate a specific piece of machinery, that's where it can get dicey about whether that bumps them into duties outside of their title.
Okay.
In the official policy requires that the personnel officer approve and sign off as well. So that was put in there for the purposes of job titles.
Oh. To follow up on this, Vince, is Class A required for the chip sealer unit?
Yes, that's one of the machines that in our recent reorganization with personnel is we require them to have a Class A.
Now, to run that
chip seal spreader. Now, this person who wants, and I want to get him the Class A, it's for the purpose of, for a day or two, the main operator is not there. He would go in there. He'd be eligible, qualified with the Class A, and we would pay him temporary pay for that.
Okay. So this, your other option, if he doesn't have it, is you have, you run the machine with a person that doesn't have the legal license to run it, or you don't run the machine that day.
Yeah, if the main operator is gone, and then we ask him to go on that machine, then it's not quite within what the intent was of our classification of different operators. The intent now is that machine operator has a Class A. This will keep us within the rules, the letter of the law.
Well, if there was an accident that day, and you had a Class B, and you're supposed to have a Class A, in violation of the law.
Yeah, that's an important factor too.
I'll make the motion to approve the list as written by Vince.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And Aaron abstains. Carries.
Okay, road use agreement. Now this is, by the way, I believe an engineer and an attorney from the Canandaigua Power Partners, I think is I've been told is on the Zoom meeting. This is for 50 windmills in Cohocton. They're off County Route 35 and 36. They're going to be getting new blades and heads. I believe they're going to start in April or May. Jennifer and
Danny Barbado
back there, they've done a lot of work talking with Canandaigua Power Partners. It's basically the same as the previous ones you've approved. There's been some, I think, relatively minor edits to it. The only thing that came up, Andy brought it to my attention. Are we doing this with Canandaigua 1 or Canandaigua 2? What do we put in this agreement? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. It's kind of a technicality, but there was two different places to sign for Canandaigua. One is 1 and 2. We'll look that up with Jen. She can talk to them about it. But I'd like to get the road use agreement approved.
Motion.
Second.
Any other discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, carried.
We have a piece of property on County Route 119 in Rathbone. It's Vicki Warner, 10469 County Route 119. It's a piece of property that's about 600 square feet, about 0.01 acres, and it's a piece of right of way that's under what we call the old time, when before the road was moved. So this piece of property is so far off from our road that it really doesn't belong in our right of way. It's too far off for us to be affected by it. So we want to quit claim it to Vicki Warner.
This is right of way that we had that we want to get rid of.
It's right of way that, yeah, is ours, but it's under an old property purchase where when it was bought, the road was there, but now the road was moved. It's off away from it. There's no reason for us to have that. And she wants it.
Is that the bridge site by the cemetery? Or is it down the river?
This is in Rathbone, Tom. That's a picture of it, if that rings a bell, but it's down in Rathbone someplace. Okay.
Oh, this isn't the new bridge on 119.
No. See, she has a shed there. It's this little piece of property right here.
Okay. No problem with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, just wondering... when we moved the road, I'm assuming we got it right away.
We did.
On the new road.
Okay. We did.
Just
I'll second it.
All right. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Okay, intermunicipal agreements. Last year, the risk manager came to us. The insurance company wanted special agreements with each of the towns, villages, and cities who use our low boy. We move equipment for them. And we had 1-year agreements. We would like, and they've run out. Now we would like to authorization to have those agreements again, but for 5-year term, and also include the soil and water conservation district. We move a lot of equipment for Jeff. So 5-year agreement, towns, villages, cities, and the soil and water conservation district.
5-year agreement sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Becomes a hassle every year.
Yep.
Do you have that, Vince, right now with all towns or?
Not all of them. some of them signed off.
But any of them that are interested or eligible?
Right, right.
I'll make the motion.
Second it.
Motion second. You have anything to say, Fred?
No.
Okay. We have a motion and second. No other discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Okay, the next one is has to do with the timber. We had a plot on Hornby Park where they're going to come in and timber that land, and they have to pay us 50% up front before they get on the land. So they sent us a check for $5,343. They'll probably do it this spring or summer. So we have the check for $5,343. Now we have to take out of that about $968 to pay our forest manager who oversees the project, marks the trees. So we need to get that into an item where I can spend it. So I want to take $1,500 of this money and put it in other expenses so then I can pay the forest manager. The remainder of it, the $3,843, I want to put in the overtime because I put $15,000 in the overtime for the parks. Last year it was up around $18,500 because we did so much overtime work sanitizing the parks. They were out Saturdays and Sundays. So it ended up at about $18,500. I only had $15,000 in it. So I wanted to put another the other $3,843 into the overtime of parks in case we're out that long and that as much this year. So it's a transfer.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Got a motion, a second. Any discussion? I hear none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. I guess next is bids.
Okay, the bids. Now the first two we want to look at together. The first one, crushing. This is where we hire somebody to come in. He'll bring in a big crusher and usually just one big loader. And we have 31,000 tons to crush. We've got it at the Reagan pit in Rathbone, straight pit up in Avoca, and at the Woodhull shop. So he'll come in and he'll crush that $109,060. What we did is we also let the second bid, which is the crusher bid, just rental of a crusher, where we rent the crusher for a month, and then we put a couple loaders with it, a supervisor. So just the rental of the crusher is $68,725. But what it comes down to for me is that the subcontractor is basically going to crush this for $352 a ton. Okay, it costs us about $329 a ton to crush it. When our crews crush it, if I include the labor, the equipment, the additives, it's about $329 a ton. So the difference for me to do it with our people compared to hiring Daggett to do it, I have to spend another $7,000. So by spending the other $7,000 to have a subcontractor do it, then I've got all that, the people and the crews available for other things. And I need those people and I need that equipment. So I'm recommending we award it to Daggett for $109,060 and reject the crusher stacker rental.
Reject that one?
Yeah.
How many bidders were there?
On the crushing, we had three good bids, which surprised me. I've been concerned about the last few years we've been crushing it ourselves, because there's a lot more to crush, and I had more people. But I had been concerned that if we had to hire subcontractors that we wouldn't get good prices, but we got three pretty good prices here. So that price from Daggett, we know him. He can do the job well. I think it's a good price.
I was just wondering, does the volume is the, well, two related questions. Is the volume that we do greater than the 18,000 tons that we're talking about here? And if it is, does our cost go down from having just paid a flat fee? Like, do we get a lot higher volume for that?
The Daggett bid is for three separate places, 6,000 tons at Reagan, 18,000 tons at Strait, and 7,000 tons at Woodhull. That's 31,000 tons. And it averages $352 a ton. If I had to do it, it'd cost me about $329 a ton.
But what I'm asking is, if we were crushing, would we be crushing more tons than this and have that piece of equipment for the month, which decreases the per ton cost?
I don't think
okay.
we could crush much more in that month of time.
Okay.
It also depends on the weather. You get a streak of rainy weather, they may not crush for 3-4 days. So you could actually end up for the month, end up with less tons. Or if you had everything perfect, weather and so on, you would might make a little.
The rain factor is important at Reagan's pit. That's got a higher, I'm going to call it dirt content. So if it rains, it's harder to handle that and crush that. So that is a factor there.
Just depends a lot on the weather. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Motion to second.
Hey, Vince, sure. this is Gary. Is there a fuel adjustment clause in that contract?
I don't think so. No.
So no matter how much the fuel costs, our cost does not go up.
I didn't hear that.
What he's asking is, if the cost of fuel goes up, can this 109 go up, or is that 109 set?
I don't think so, but I'll check the contract and I'll let you know if it does, but I don't think it does. I don't think we apply the fuel adjustment to the crushing contract.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. I've got the rejection.
Oh, and you did the rejection?
Mm-hmm. That's part of it.
Hey, guide rail, price of steel is going way up. It's gone up 40% in the last few years. But we did get good competition on this one. The first item, corrugated beam guide rail, that's where the steel increase really shows. Last year it was $79 for a 13-foot section. This year it's $106.40. But it's reflected in both Chemung and Shirley's bid. The others actually did, other items didn't go up that much. They went up just a little bit. So the competition is good. The $182, $522.5 for Chemung is a little bit above our budget. We budgeted 175, didn't expect this big a price increase, but I'd recommend awarding it to Chemung for that figure.
All right. Does the committee want to, guess we'll do each one of these down through.
Motion.
Second. All right, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. I hear no opposed. It's carried.
Okay, the next one is the portable toilet. Jeff's portable toilets, we've never dealt with him. This Larry Latrines, who was second, was terrific. We didn't even have to check the toilets out. They were all very clean all the time. But the price, you know, it's competitive. It looks good. So I'd recommend to Jeff's portable toilets for $12,944 for the first page and for $7,845 for the pump outs on the second page.
Motion. Jeff's local, or do they have to travel?
Let's see. Yes. Montour Falls.
Would that create a problem for you? I mean,
no, it shouldn't be. If he's a quality operator, being from Montour is not going to hurt anything.
So basically, he won the price, and we don't have a history with him, so you've got to give him a chance to try.
Yeah, we'll just have to watch it closely.
Yeah.
Make the motion.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Vince, will you be inspecting those to follow up and make sure that he does a good job?
Actually, we do, Aaron.
I'm sure the workers will let you know soon.
Ones that really let me know is when my wife's hiking club goes to Bird's Eye. I'll get a call the same day if it's not right.
You'll know before you go to bed that night, right?
I try to find out ahead of time when they're hiking, but she won't tell me.
It's one of the closest to Montour.
What's that?
Bird's Eye.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, purchase a road broom. Again, this is from Sourcewell. Right down at the bottom, it's $66,000. Jerry Miller's here. He had been, before going to this Sourcewell, he had checked out what these brooms cost here in New York. If we'd bid on them, it's anywhere from $72,000 to $75,000. We have three brooms. They're all over 22 years old. So it's because it's, is Andy here?
No, he was on the phone earlier.
Jen, this.
Yes. It's a national cooperative, Sourcewell. Our best value law allows us to take from the national cooperative.
And that has to get committee approval, right?
It's the dollar amount that needs the committee approval. Okay. It's done, the procurement ends done, it's the dollar amount.
Okay. So I'm recommending to Monroe Tractor for the Leroy Broom for $66,000.
Budgeted?
Yes.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, the next four are all extensions, overhead door.
Let's do them all together, those next four. Yep. Here, extensions.
Overhead door to Lewis Garage. They're very good. Then the bottled water to B&B. We do about $7,000 a year on that bid. Next one's industrial electrical. Schuler Haas. So extend that one. That one looks good. Uniform rental and cleaning service. For some of our workers, we provide uniforms at the mechanic shop and the landfill. That's about a $12,000 a year bid. I recommend to Cintas.
Motion. Second.
Any discussion on those four bids? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
And then Bob, you wanted to do goals. I have our goals from the department, what we've come up with, but I guess you have to come up with your own.
Well, what's the committee want? I sent to our chairman of the legislature, my goal was to get a new deputy commissioner and a bridge engineer. That was two goals I put forth. Vince has a list here.
Let me just give you an outline. Yep. Of what I see as the real big ones.
Okay.
The biggest is cell four at the landfill will be filled in July of 24. So we want to get the permit for that by the end of this year. If we do that, then I've got a, I'm going to call it a grace period of a 1 year cushion before cell four is filled up. So the top of the list is get the permit for cell four. For me, the second is the PE, Steve Catherman's position. We have more bridges than any other county. Not only do we have to design those bridges, during the year, the state will come in and inspect our bridges, and we have to put in repairs. That requires a PE design. Now, we've got out the second advertisement now. That's an extremely important position. The third one is the condition of our shops. We need new shops at Prattsburg, Mount Wash, and Curtis. Can we get by for a few years? Yeah, but we need new shops. Cohocton, we've got it partially budgeted because of the fire. We've got a pole barn heated. They're working there, but we need a new shop at Cohocton, and we need the office at Caton. And then I'm working with Eric Rose. All the shops need maintenance, and we're working on that together, bridge crew, highway crew, and Eric. So those are the three big ones: permit, PE, new shops. And then, you know, we've got the RFP on the gas to energy plan at the landfill. We're interviewing now. Personnel, we're, you know, I lost an entire bridge crew. We have two bridge crews. I lost one of them. Got vacancies in the highway division. The engineering division, I've got reclassifications I have to do to get it in line with losing Eric Prutzman. And then all this is under the umbrella of COVID. That's the most important thing, the highest priority thing. Those are the big ones that I look at.
So what's the pleasure of the committee? That's good with me. I'm, you know.
When you say new shops, are you talking about a total new structure, everything inside redesigned, outfitted?
Yeah, the we've built the Cohocton shop, or excuse me, the Caton shop. I closed that one down. It was built in about 1927. It was ready to cave in, as I saw. So we built a new one, but we built it with four bays, and I didn't put an office on it. We need to add an office to that. Cohocton, the main shop, had a fire. So we gutted it and cleaned it. And we actually, it's a cold storage building. We store equipment in there in the winter. We took the pole barn, heated it, and they work out of there. But we need a new shop there, and they need an office. Now, Eric Rose and I was concerned, could there be something else like Caton that I'm not seeing, that a ceiling might cave in? So Eric and I went to each of the shops to see if there was anything dangerous there structurally. And there wasn't anything dangerous there. But what we did is we turned our inspection into what maintenance do we need? And Prattsburg, Curtis, and Mount Wash, you know, we'd go through it. The first one I went through with him, and I said, let's list all the stuff we have to do to the shop. And he said, you need a new shop. And the fact was, we do need a new shop there. They shouldn't be working in places like that. Okay, now we're keeping it clean, we're keeping it upgraded, but it's getting to the point where you have to face that you're gonna have to replace these. I'm not saying this year, I'm not saying next year, but you're gonna have to face it that you're gonna have to put a long-term program in place. But the answer to your question, tear the shop down, build a new one with an office. Rough $1.5 million. So three shops at $1.5 million, you're talking $4.5 million. And then Cohocton is fairly well funded in the capital project. May need more, I don't know. Caton, I've got some money for an office there. I'm basically saying Eric and I have got to get the maintenance done and upgraded, but we as a group have got to face that we've got to build some new shops here somewhere ahead down the line.
Yeah.
I think along that lines, when were these shops built? Like that Curtis shop right there by my house. I mean, that shop is old.
They were mostly built at least, let's see, Prattsburg, at least 50 years ago. The Mount Washington shop is built out of battleship steel from World War II. The Howard shop is built out of battleship steel from World War II. You can see where the bullet holes were in some of those walls. These shops are old.
Mistook them for portholes.
Basically, I'll actually, when I go back, I've got the date for each one, and I'll let you
know. Hey, Aaron.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that I'm most concerned about the staff and not just the professional staff, but I think their numbers are just way down overall. And also, this RFP for the landfill gas development, I think that's something that we have to have on the forefront. That's going to be a big issue. So, and those are in Vince's goals, but I just wanted to mention it.
We're going to have to get the bridge crew. Eventually you're going to have to hire the other crew back, another crew for the bridge crew.
This year, I just planned it so we're not building any new bridges. We're putting in four box culverts, and they're going to repair the Wood Road Bridge in Campbell. So I'll get by this year, but with all those bridges, to keep them in good shape, you'll need a second crew.
And with these shops you're talking, are you thinking of building them ourselves to stay on the trailing wage?
No. Bid them out, engineer them, bid them out, have a contractor do them.
Now, my second question is the Curtis shop that Jeff was just talking about. Would you build a new shop there or look for a new location because you're against the rocks there?
That's something we probably should look into, the location of it. I know that when I built Cohocton, I was thinking of combining Cohocton and Curtis, put them at the Irwin Transfer Station. But when we did an analysis and brought it to you of how far the trucks would have to travel. It wasn't worth it. I think probably put it in the same place, but that's something we would have to look at when we build the shop. Yeah. Is that the proper place for it?
Right now, those rocks fall off and land on the roof.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I was down there the other day and I heard something and I was like, what was that? And I said, that was a rock hitting the roof.
That's why you want battleship steel.
You should be having out of Kevlar.
So the permit for the landfill to me is just normal business. I don't know that that's a goal for a committee. That's just part of Public Works and landfill operation doing their normal business. I can see where a study of how many shops do we have, how many shops do we need, what's the condition of those, and what would it take to refurbish or replace, that's a goal. And that's one that could be done. It would have to be a goal because we don't have money to just start building them right away. So that's something we could work on this year. And then you determine, do you want to budget anything in the next year to start, doing that. As far as replacing bridge crews, that's doing business. That's a daily operation, just like staffing. So, I mean, that's not a goal for a committee.
In your opinion,
John.
Yeah, I probably brought this up in the past, but, my concern has always been with rental of equipment.
Yeah.
The cost to buy new equipment and what we would save by doing that. So I'm proposing that we do a study based on what we're spending in rental for a piece of equipment, what the cost would be to buy that, and what the useful life is. So we can see if we can save some money in the long run by just buying this equipment.
Some of the stuff that we rent it because the maintenance kills you.
Well, I understand that, but there was one piece of equipment we bought up in the past, and the savings sitting out there was astronomical if we bought it, and that was the pothole machine. And I think we just need to do a study. We got some time to do that and take a look at this. And I was looking in the budget, and I just looked at one line item. It was $170,000 alone for rental. I think we need to just do a study to see if it's better off for us in the long run over a cost of years to buy the equipment rather than sit out there and rent it, even if we had to sit out there and buy the purchase of some of this equipment,
yeah,
based on the interest rates.
Now. We got out of the roller business and went to rental because the maintenance was killing us.
And we need to factor that in when the study's done. But I'm just asking that you know, be somewhat of a goal for the committee this year.
Yeah, we'll take that in consideration. Carol?
I just wondered, with regard to new shops that you would like to have, have you been able to prioritize which ones needed to be done first?
Well, we want Cohocton done first, and we've got a capital project for that. And we want to get the office for Caton in. That those two are the highest priority. As far as prioritizing Curtis, Mount Wash, and Prattsburg, it's pretty difficult for me right now to give you an answer to that.
Yeah, and I didn't need to.
Yeah.
I just think that would be.
My wash.
All right. What's the pleasure of the committee on goals? You got what Vince put out here. We have comments for other goals.
I think one of the goals to look forward to, along with what Vince said and Scott said and everybody's taken into consideration, is the shops. I think us finding out how we're going to fund that, rather it's bonded or how it would be, is a goal of us. Along with what Scott said and Vince said, as far as some of the staff, we really, you know, the committee has no way of finding that staff. But having our support in them getting the staff really is what they need from us.
To me, this shop program, we'll work on it, but I think it's going to take us at least 10 years to get through all those shops. Getting the money. I'm not talking about Cohocton and Caton that are on priority right now. I'm talking before you get all three of these other ones done. We're looking at a 10-year project. Time you get the funding. The funding's the biggest thing.
The whole question on the shops, I mean, that's a policy decision. And that's why I believe it does belong in your hands, is one of your goals. It's a, right. It's not my decision to tell you to spend $4.5 million. But 10 years, I mean, you built this, you built that, and you're sitting on $75 million. And I'm just saying $4.5 million for these three shops.
It was not $75 million, was it? $75 million? No, it wasn't $75 million.
The building?
Oh, fund balance. Like fund these balance. Things did not cost that kind of money. No. Okay.
But it's you're going to have to work with finance too. You know, it's not just this committee. We got to see where we're going to come up with the funding. And
yeah, this is definitely a legislative policy decision. Yeah,
it
I'm
is
just saying if you.
Give, I'm just saying, as speedy as government works.
That's
It could take up to 10 years by the time you get the last shop done.
It could. It took 7 years for me to get money to even think about building the Caton shop.
Yeah.
I know how long these things take, and I don't think should take that long.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying we will be 10 okay. years. I'm just saying our past history, it may be 10 years.
I can't argue with you, Bob.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think just to follow up a little bit on what Scott said relating to the buildings is, you know, I would like to see in this study or whatever we're talking about the buildings, what, you know, operationally, how the new buildings are going to help us. So we have a lot of different equipment now that we didn't have when they were constructed, but how is spending the $1.5 million really going to help? If we've got a shell to protect our equipment, then, you know, that's one thing, but what's $1.5 million going to do for us that's not being done already? And, or that we couldn't just, you know, do a repair to make things last longer.
And I agree. That's part of the whole study to justify it. Are we putting it in the right place? What are we getting for it? I agree, Aaron.
Kelly?
Well, I was just going to say, if we're going to do a study of some of that equipment that we rent
versus whether we should purchase it, then that would have to be looked at in coordination with talking about building new buildings, because we need to have the buildings to protect any new equipment that we were to choose to purchase rather than rent.
You only have so much money, so it's how you want to spend it.
Yes.
Well, you know, we need to start looking at this in the budget process. And I think that starts next year, 1 week in September, taking a look at this. Well, you need to build in each year over a course of years, so you don't have a major increase in budget and in assessments sitting out there. So
that's why I said it includes the finance committee, how you're going to budget it and put it in.
That's why a goal would be to do a shop analysis, decide where you want your shops, which ones need replacing or refurbishing, how much it would cost to do that. That could be the goal. Now, implementing that goal is not going to be done within a year, and it could be 5 years, it could be 10. That all depends on how we feel from a financial standpoint.
I agree. When I came here, there were 13 highway shops, and we did a pretty involved study of getting it down to 8. It cut our management staff in half, saved a lot of money, and it didn't hurt our efficiency getting from 13 to 8. Now to get from 8 to less, that's worth a study. That is worth a study.
I'm not saying that that's what I would like to see, Vince. I'm just saying you do your prioritization before you start deciding on building new buildings where you currently are. You just make sure that what you have as your shop system is sufficient and acceptable.
I agree. Yeah.
Because when we were looking for a Caton shop for 5 years, they didn't have one. I kept saying, are we sure we want to spend this kind of money in Caton when you were looking at getting rid of the Caton shop at a certain time and moving them up to Curtis? So that's why I say before we would spend money at any of these other locations, I would want a study to show that, yes, what we have for our shop inventory is what is acceptable and efficient.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that study should be done in-house. We don't need to farm that out.
I agree. Yeah, we don't need to farm it out for another 50 grand or whatever those things cost. So what's the pleasure of the board, the committee? Do you want, why don't we have Vince go back and work at these goals and what we discussed today and present them to us in April? What do you think?
Let me just say one thing. I mean, I have my goals, and I'm going to – that cell 4, I got to get built.
You go ahead with that.
Okay, I've got my goals. What you've brought to me here, two things, a study on the shops and a study on the rental of equipment. That's from that's a policy decision from the board, from the committee. Maybe those should be –
you want to add them?
For the goals.
Maybe those should be your goals, and I will incorporate them into what I do.
I agree with Vince.
I think those are two big goals.
Yeah. And they're policy decision things.
Certainly doesn't hurt to look at those studies. And if it's cheaper to own than to rent, we should own.
So an analysis of what we rent, what it costs us compared to what it would cost us to own. And then an analysis, a long-term analysis of our shops, which ones need to be replaced when, and where are we going to put them, and the size of them to handle, our fleet.
In each one of the shops now as they exist, does each one have a repair facility in each one?
No.
Okay.
Now, our shops are set up. Basically, they're bays where we can change the oil filters and that type of thing. The major repairs go back to Jerry here in Bath. Now, we do have a couple of field mechanics that will do the minor stuff in the field. But we're not set up to repair. And it's one of the things, ideally, we would have lifts in a lift in each shop for changing oil. And we've got disagreement
about that in the department. They don't need a lift. They can use the crawlers. But it, in an ideal shop, you'd have one lift. But to answer your question, we're not set up to repair in the shops.
Well, my idea is that you shouldn't be. You should have a repair facility and bring the equipment you need there instead of having each shop set up to be a
repair facility. And I agree with that. That's basically how we are.
Okay. Yeah, you know, there needs to be an analysis rather. The existing shop just needs some, you know, tender loving care for a while.
Well, they do. And Eric and I and the bridge crew and the highway crews, we've got, I could probably show you here, there's three pages for, and it comprises all the shops, what we have to do on each of them. If you want to call it tender loving care, we have to face that we're going to have to build new shops here.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
But all this stuff, where Andy's actually finalizing the TLC list right now.
Study.
Yeah, because in a little support to Vince, I think that they've been getting that tender love and care for the last 20 years, and now the tender love and care is starting to run out.
Yeah. I think that's what it's coming to. Opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Mike said, an extender, right?
Marriage.
So, all right. The committee in agreement to add those two studies to the
our goals
to our goals for Public Works. Okay, they will be added for equipment evaluation on rental equipment and whether to own or whatever, and the other will be on the shops.
Okay, I'll put that right in our goals. And since they're your goals, they'll go to the top of our list.
Okay. Anything else for Public Works, John?
Well, I'd like to discuss the transfer clock and land. I don't know if we want to do that open session or executive session.
So that's executive. All right.
I'll make the motion to go into executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Yeah. Amanda needs a little time to get out of executive. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Is there a motion to adjourn? We're adjourned.
We already got it.
Got a motion.
Oh, my goodness.